Arteta! What a strike!
What's worse than having to talk about a halftime of terrible football? How about having to do a podcast after that halftime show of terrible football? This is the Arsenal Vision post-match live halftime show. My name is Elliot Smith, and you can block me on Twitter, Yankee Gunner. None of what I just said made sense, but it was still infinitely more coherent than what we just watched. And here to explain to me how I get those 45 minutes of my life back is Scott. You can find him on Twitter at @O_that_crab. Hello, Scott.
Yeehaw.
Man, you know, it really was hard to really get the energy up for this match.
You sounded like Towley from South Park. Or who was the? What was the name of the poop on South Park?
Mr. Poop.
Or it was something like that. Anyway, it sounded a little like him. Howdy ho! The Christmas poop. Remember him? Whatever he was.
Is it Mr. Hankey?
Mr. Hankey, the Christmas poo. Yeah, that's it. Howdy ho, right. Boys and girls. It sounded a little bit like that.
Okay. That's in my teenage knowledge there.
Good finish from Lacazette.
Yeah, definitely a good finish from Lacazette. You know, a good ball recovery from Ozil, and, you know, it shows that those are probably two best players on the field. But other than that, there's not a ton to really talk about here.
Any thoughts on Koscielny? I mean, he hasn't done a whole hell of a lot. I mean, his hairline, immaculate. I mean, he obviously spent more than just time at the ankle doctor while he was out. He clearly saw the hair doctor.
Yeah, no, he's looking good. Yeah, I mean, he hasn't made any mistakes, so at least we got that going for us.
Which is nice. What do you think of the young kids? I mean, I don't think Nketi is a winger, is he?
Smith Rowe wasn't going to be able to make it, so that was one of the people that I was really looking forward to watching again, because I thought that he was impressive, you know, last week or 2 weeks ago again in Kiev. So I was disappointed he's not there. I thought Willicks looked pretty good. Saka, I thought, I'm not sure how to really pronounce that one, so I'm doing my best there. I think that he's actually shown really good technical ability on the ball, and it's actually been pretty impressive. I thought the shot that he had, really forced a good save. So I think he's looked good too.
Over in the
Carl
messages,
Jenkinson's, you know, been a person who's been on.
I don't care about Carl Jenkinson. Moving on. over in the messages, Jad Dow is saying, "Yeah, I didn't like Eddie on the wing. I don't think he's a winger. I mean, this looks like a 4-4-2 or 4-4-1-1 with Ozil playing sort of a free role behind Lacazette, and that means Nketi has been pretty much wide on the right. It doesn't really suit him. Are you kind of disappointed not to see him get a strike partnership with Lacazette going?"
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. I mean, especially in this dead rubber of a match, I mean, do you really need Lacazette out there? So I'm hoping that he probably comes off at like 50 minutes, and hopefully Eddie can move into the central striker role, and Lacazette can get, you know, a little bit of a break, so we can see a little bit more of that run out from Eddie. But you're right, with Arsenal having so much of the ball, it's really hard to say that he's been a winger per se. I mean, Arsenal just dominated possession. They've had, you know, how many touches it shows here? 106 attacking third passes to 28. So it's been pretty much all dominant for Arsenal.
Yeah, all right.
What have you thought of Joe Willock? I thought he's actually looked pretty good.
Yeah, he looks pretty classy. I have to admit, I think Willock looks pretty classy. I think we need to get to... Look, we're doing a halftime show about a match that, like, really, really induced narcolepsy. So, I mean, realize we're gonna manufacture a talking point here. And for me, I think it has to be the selection. So, Scott, I want you to talk me off my hysterical wall where I live and reside on a regular basis. And I just feel that starting Lacazette here is totally unnecessary. I realize he got the goal, and that's great. I'm one of these people that thinks, you know, striker confidence is probably an overrated factor. But we have a cup game midweek next week that he's going to have to put some first-teamers out. Unfortunately, he can't just punt a North London derby. Lacazette certainly looks in line to start that, you would think, given that Aubameyang now is almost certainly going to start the Southampton game with Lacazette starting this one. And then you get into the holiday program where we have games every 48 hours, and we have two first-team strikers. I don't think Nketiah can be put in that group, and there's no Danny Welbeck. So Lacazette and Aubameyang have to start either together or one or the other in every single match between now and, well, potentially the rest of the season, but certainly over the next couple of weeks. And I mean...
Yeah, certainly until like mid-January.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, it's Southampton on Sunday, it's Spurs on Wednesday, it's Burnley on Saturday, it's Brighton on Wednesday, it's Liverpool on Saturday, it's, let's see, Fulham on Tuesday, and then potentially a cup. No, it's an FA Cup game on Saturday.
Yeah,
and I think I skipped. I definitely skipped a Boxing Day match or something like that. Anyway, point is, a lot of football between now and the new year.
There's Brighton on Boxing Day.
Yeah. So
right before the Liverpool.
Other than the fact that you've just experienced Elliot Reid's fixtures as your content for halftime, is there any real explanation for starting Lacazette in the deadest of dead rubbers?
You know, it makes a hard thing to justify. I mean, I guess to get him a few minutes of game time because he hasn't played a full 90 in a while. But I mean, even then, like, I really do want to see him be probably the first sub off. You know, unless, you know, even if Carabag score a goal, who cares? This match is over. It doesn't mean anything. The only thing that's on the line here is our unbeaten run. But I mean, that's really more of a media narrative. I mean, I think the focus should be on the weekend and making sure that everybody is fit and firing for that. So I think that he should probably come off about 50 minutes. The one that I'm a little bit more concerned about is Socrates. I guess he can't play this weekend.
Yeah. So, but I mean, still, I guess you can make an argument.
Really, with our injury crisis that we already have in the back, do we really want to risk him match that doesn't mean anything?
No, but let me say this. The reason I could at least sort of understand this is, one, he can't play at the weekend, and two, I could understand Emery saying, look, I need to get Koscielny ready, and it's only fair to put him next to an experienced center back because I think that doing that is the best way to get Koscielny ready. I mean, we will have to start Koscielny this weekend, I think, or he's certainly going to use today, I think, as an indication of whether he can start Koscielny at the weekend. So I can understand that, you know, at least, again, I'm not saying I would have done it. I wouldn't have done it. But I can understand that more than the whole, let's get Lacazette a goal and get him feeling good and sharp again. I mean, and maybe I'm underestimating the importance of that, but there are two strikers. Two strikers, just the two, and lots and lots and lots of games, and he's going to be playing against Spurs midweek next week and probably coming off the bench if not starting this weekend. So to me, the Lacazette one is really, really funny, especially given that he's just back from an injury. And, you know, I've heard, you know, I'm not there, obviously, supposedly a very cold night at the Emirates. That's when muscle strains can pop up, especially in games like this. You know, I don't know how you feel about this, Scott, but I've always thought, games that are dead rubbers, a lot of times the big players kind of half-ass it. And one of the things you read a lot of athletes say is, it's not the really intense games where you hurt yourself sometimes. It's the one where you're kind of half-assing it and not taking it as seriously. And that's when you do something silly and wind up picking up a niggle.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a possibility. But I mean, you know, it can kind of also be seen as kind of a training exercise. And you probably would have trained regardless today if Arsenal didn't have a match. You know, if it was going to the weekend, you're still trained on Thursday before a match. So, I mean, there is lots of justifications that you can use, especially with the intensity of this one not being that high. The Carabag, you know, they haven't been kicking us all over the field. So at least there's that going too. So they're not really, you know, being dirty, working like they're trying to hurt any players. So, I mean, it's really hard to justify, but it's not, you know, the biggest crime against football there ever was.
Okay, well, so let's get on to some pretty big news. I don't know if you saw this, but Spurs had a massive victory yesterday.
I'm checking my sources here. It shows that they didn't even win.
No, I know, but no, according to Harry Kane, it proves that they can win anywhere. And then the other thing he said that I thought was really interesting is that after they conceded, they showed real quality to keep a clean sheet. Now, I'm checking here. Can you keep a clean sheet if you've conceded? Because that doesn't sound right to me.
Yeah, that's definitely an interesting one. That's almost as good as them not having a stadium, the quotes that are coming out after that match.
When do you think, are they ever going to have a stadium? I mean, is it possible that maybe they will wind up just having to become nomads and roam the land looking for a place to have a kickabout?
Yeah, it is interesting. I mean, it's definitely, I know they were trying to target whatever their Manchester United one, but I think that's definitely in doubt for them. So it's probably not going to be done through the Christmas period because they still have to get the test matches in to be able to get their safety certificate. So it's definitely probably looking late January. That's realistic that they'll get it, because I know they were looking at the 13th of January against Manchester United, so that doesn't look like it's going to happen, so it'll probably go into late January for them. When
all right, we're going to play a game championship player or a player for Barcelona in the team that Spurs bravely drew 1-1 the other day. Langlet.
That sounds English, so I'm going to say championship player.
No, he started for Barcelona.
Ugh.
Semedo.
That I'm going to go championship player.
No, started for Barcelona.
You can tell I didn't watch this one. I watched the Napoli versus Liverpool one, which was a lot more interesting to me.
To be fair, I've kind of heard of Arthur, young up-and-coming talent, a guy named Alenia.
Yeah,
Arthur looks good. I'll give him a pass. Miranda Vermaelen, you've done something right when you're able to score Vermaelen. One goal past Thomas Vermaelen. Cillessen in goal. I mean, this is the team that they are praising themselves for getting a 1-1 draw against, despite the fact that Dembele humiliated their entire team. So all good there. Look, we'll start to wrap it up here. Let me just ask you this. I mean, as far as a Spurs-hating Arsenal supporter goes, I was fine with them staying in the Champions League. Don't want to see them in Europa. We get more of the Europa money by them not dropping in Europa anyway, and they get to be humiliated in the Champions League, where they probably have to put in a little more effort to approach a tie that they will probably wind up losing anyway. So are you fine with them going through, or would you have preferred to see them drop into Europa?
I think I could have really been happy either way. I think them, you know, getting this victory out of a draw is pretty funny against a B team. You know, that was pretty good. I would have just, my heart couldn't have taken it if they had dropped into the Europa League and they got matched up against Arsenal. Those ones are just so stressful. So I'm already dreading Chelsea enough in the champion or in the Europa League. So I think that Arsenal will have to face them sometime, and I'm not going to like that. They're going to be the second team in their pot, so they're going to draw a good team. So I think them actually getting past the round of 16 isn't very good. So I think that'll be more entertaining to see them get beat up by a good team.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that, and I will be fine with that. I mean, as far as our draw coming up, I mean, we are going to top the group. Have you had an early look at who we could get in the first knockout round?
I haven't looked at that at all. The Champions League's coming in, you know, it's always so confusing, this the Europa League stuff. So I'll look at that, because it goes to a round of 32 first, right?
Yeah. So who are the big teams parachuting in? I guess Inter, although I'm not too nervous about them.
So I got Inter, Napoli. Let's see who else dropped in.
Did Monaco?
Galatasaray. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Club Bruges.
I think we can live
Benfica.
With that.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, here we go.
Valencia.
All right. So, I mean, yeah, there's one or two, but, you know, I still think that's preferable to Liverpool and Spurs dropping in, obviously. It looks like Ozil and Lacazette are still going to be on the pitch for at least the start of the second half. The teams are out on the pitch, so we'll start to wrap up. I would like to think that this halftime show was at least as entertaining as the first 45 minutes, and almost certainly as entertaining as the second 45 minutes. Having said that, somehow we have to manufacture an actual podcast about this game, and that'll be out tomorrow. In any event, you know, maybe you could just listen to the post-North London Derby podcast or something instead. Maybe we'll just put that back out and see if anybody notices. Scott's on Twitter, @O_that_crab. Thank you, Scott.
If anything, we're professional content creators, and we're going to be able to do a job.
Speak for your damn self. My name is Elliot Smith. You can block me on Twitter, Yankee Gunner. Up the Arsenal. I hope we go on to finish this one in style the way we finished the first half. Enjoy the second half, everybody. I put that in rockstar quotes, and we'll talk to you sometime after the match with a podcast. Cheers.
Yeah.